you've worked on quite a lot of different comic titles, haven't you? You did Doctor Magazine for a while.
Yeah, I did Doctor Who, Dan Dare, Green Lantern, Batman, AD. Superman, 2000 AD, Watchmen, of course.
So I was just, one of the things I was, sort of wanted to ask you about was, you've probably been asked this a lot recently, but things like the iPad, there are apps on there which they digitise the comics. You can, and if you've seen it, you can sort of tap the panel, it automatically takes you into the next way. You know, and the first time, it was the first time I looked at the comic in maybe probably 10 or 15 years, which was a curiosity. And I thought it was quite an intuitive way of following it. And yeah. So I wondered what, you know, whether you thought that was a good future direction for the genre, or whether you thought it detracted from the origins.
Well, I think there is a purity about a comic book as a printed item, which is one thing. But I think you have to accept that what a lot of people want to do is not collect comic books, but just read them. And I've had an iPad since the day they came out, and I've looked at all the comics apps. And there's something really nice about looking at a page of comics app, whether it's a brand new comic. Now, I've got lots of old comics that have been scanned, and you can load them on your iPad. And I just, there's a luminosity to them which I find very attractive. I think there are also things that the iPad.
You think they're a valid format for the.
I think it's a perfectly valid, and I've got a sense that it might be. I mean, the traditional model for comic books, well, I say tradition for the past 20 years or so, is that there are the monthly comic books which you read as they come out episodically, and then they're collected together into a trade paperback, and you buy that and put it on your shelf. I can imagine a future where people still buy print comics, but a lot of people who don't buy the print comics will read it monthly on the iPad, and then at the end of that experience, I really enjoyed that, I want to buy the trade paperback. So I think the two things are going to go hand in hand. I've also been involved with things like motion comics, which are kind of a halfway house between animation.
I was going to bring on to ask comics. You whether you thought of it.
And I think they can work. You know, we did one of.
Does that not dilate the purity beyond?
Well, yeah, it's strange because you see, I think you're talking about two different media. There's movies and animation where the pace of reading is dictated to you by the speed of the animation, and then there's reading comics where you control the pace of it, and that's a genuine reading experience. And I am a little worried that by going into animation you are going away from the reading experience, which I think is intrinsic to comics. But I think there are certain things you can do where you can add an atmosphere on an iPad, you can add music, you can add things like you can enhance the pictures with, you know, maybe depth of field. I think there are things that you can do electronically, ways that you can manipulate the images and the words that might lead to kind of an interesting sort of hybrid medium. So in a funny way, I mean, animated films are a hybrid of drawn comics and movies. You know, they were a thing that didn't exist until somebody hit on the idea, hey, if you draw them and change them a little bit, you're effectively doing a movie, but with drawn characters rather than things in the real world. So I've got a sense at this moment that we're kind of groping towards a form, we're trying to establish the grammar of something, and I'm not quite sure what it is, but it is an area that I'm very involved in, and I'm really interested to see how it turns out. It may be a blind alley, it may be we come up with a mutant thing that nobody really wants to look at, but it's an interesting time.
I remember as a kid, I mean, I don't know if it's true for everybody, but as a kid, learning to read comics were a small, bite-sized fun way of learning.
Absolutely.
Do you think if we move too much into the motion side of things, you lose the catalyst for going on to say to then read long form novels back of comic?
I mean, I think, as I say, there is an activity called reading which is different than watching, and I certainly learned to read by looking at comics. I wanted to know what's that character saying, and as you say, the text is in bite sized chunks. Even to this day, the kind of books I like, illustrated books, are the ones where the balance of words and pictures are about the same. It's something very attractive about taking the information in that way. I would hate to see the reading experience lost, but I think people always want the reading experience. I mean, people say nowadays kids just watch video and play games, but look at a thing like Harry Potter, for instance. You know, there's people have read that in their millions and millions. Even a thing like Watchmen, you know, we've sold a couple of million copies of that comic that people have read, and the interesting thing is that all the movie and the motion comics have actually led the people back to the printed word. So I've got no real fears about that. I think people always want to read, but people will want to watch as well.
Comic books, they seem to sort of expand. So you've got, particularly Marvel, you've got sort of alternate universe something, and there's still quite a lot of slightly confused coverage recently. One of the characters being recast as a Hispanic or something. It was a sort of the
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man. And sort of, there was quite a lot of confused reporting that it was Spider-Man rather than sort of alternate Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And I wondered, I mean, do you think there's sort of spin-offs or those sort of parallel versions of the comics, do they make the format, the genre, more less accessible for general readers who may be more confused about what's going on, or do you think that they're the sort of part of the product that's for the hardcore fan?
Yeah, well, I think this has been the problem with comics publishing, and it is the problem that they're trying to address now. I mean, DC is just rebooting its entire universe from the beginning, although it won't be from the beginning, but apparently from the beginning, because you've got the small audience, the niche, the audience you can rely on, who know all the history of these characters.
The Big Bang Theory.
Yeah. Who can take on all these varying versions and reconcile them. Then you've got the general audience, which is a huge audience, but isn't really involved enough to fight their way through this thicket. So you either produce comic books that are absolutely fascinating to your hardcore certain audience, or things where you're not pleasing the fans, but you're trying to reach a bigger audience.
In the games industry, I mean, the games companies all centered on the hardcore, and so the Apple come along with the iPad and dominating casual games players. Do you think there's the same thing?
Exactly. It's the casual readers. You've always got to have stuff for the hardcore people, to whom it's their thing, it's their hobby. But you've got to try and reach out to the casual people as well. But if they get interested in Superman, they can read some Superman stories. They don't feel they're at a party where they don't know anybody. I mean, just coming from the ground up, they can read it in bite-sized chunks, which again is where comics work, because you know, if you're only taking on sort of 30 pages of material, you can read it on the train, you can read an episode a week. And I think that is the real challenge. And I think Marvel Comics, maybe more than DC, have got into this of doing like a kind of a mass market version and then a niche market version. But again, I think that's where the iPad comes in handy, because the real problem with print comics is you have to print them. You have to anticipate the audience and print them. With the direct sale to the fans, you can with the mass market, how many do you print?
Do you think on the business side of things, does that make comics a more sustainable medium in the long term? Do you think that the removal of the need to sort of preempt the idea of how many, the number, the sales numbers, and just essentially print on demand as it with each download?
Yeah, I mean, I do think that, because I mean, that to me as a creator is the huge appeal of electronic media, is your audience is actually everybody in the world who's got a smartphone, everybody in the world who's got an iPad, which is millions and millions of people, and you've only got to appeal to a very small percentage to actually to be as commercially successful as selling a $10 comic book to 100,000 people.
For young illustrators coming up, if we move to a world where people essentially pay for the digital rights to a comic that then may be downloaded 100 times or a million times, does that disempower them when it comes to negotiating their fees for their reward for that work?
No, I think it actually empowers them, because they're actually getting directly to their audience. This I think is one of the problems with comics anyway. There was a real watershed moment in comics where they gave creators credit, where they actually printed creators' names on the product. Before that, it had been Superman, say, drawn in a house style by unknown artists. So the artist had no economic power, although as a reader back then, even as a young kid, you discriminate. You buy the comics drawn by this artist, but not that artist. The minute you identify the artist, they can go to the publisher, print or electronic, and say, listen, they're downloading millions of times, not this character. Because look, when I draw another character, that downloads a million times. So I think it actually gives you the potential to become
a brand.
Yeah, to become a brand.
A couple of film-related questions, one of which is sort of only tangentially related to comics, I guess, but it's the concept of reboots, which we touched on, and it's become the vogue. I think cinema seems to borrow recently the reboot concept from comics. So you've got the Bond films be rebooted, Star Trek rebooted.
Yeah.
Do you think that's a good thing? I mean, my mum, who can remember seeing Sean Connery as James Bond, was absolutely perplexed when we watched Casino Royale. How can it be James Bond's first mission? Because I remember sitting in the cinema in 1963, and it took probably as much of the film to explain the concept of the reboot or is it to watch the film? Do you think that cinema maybe doesn't need to engage in the hard reboots?
Oh, well, I mean, the thing in comics used to be, what they used to do with comic books is every 7 years they just reprint stuff because they reckon the life of a comic book reader, the life that the average person would read comics for is 7 years, so they could just reprint it. Particularly humour stuff and stuff that wasn't related to real life in any way at all. They might change the name of the character, get it relettered, but they'd reboot it. And I think the thing is with James Bond, I'm old enough that to me Sean Connery is James Bond and everybody else is an imposter. But I know people who came into it with Roger Moore, Timothy Dalton, and that to them is James Bond. It's like with Doctor Who, for instance.
I was going to ask you about Doctor Who.
I think the key to doing reboots is not to follow fashion, but to actually re-establish the core of the character. Because all these really successful characters, James Bond, Batman, Superman, there's a core concept to them, which is what sells them. And I think the unsuccessful reboots is where they lose sight of the core concept.
Do you think the Bond films have kept that core concept? He's the new guy. There's nothing special in the Fleming novels, particularly. He's a character that M obviously holds in high regard, isn't there? She approved of some of his personality traits or some of his attitudes, and a lot of that carries through into the earlier films. But in the new one, he's essentially the new guy in the office. The USP, the unique point of him, seems to be slightly lost in the process.
Yeah, well, I mean, of course,
process.
You could argue with something like James Bond. To me, I mean, I read them as a kid when I was 12 years old. They were pretty much of their time as well. This was all glamorous and wonderful. But now, Monte Carlo, the West Indies, we've been there on a holiday. It isn't that big deal. So there's something about the particular charm of James Bond, that particular character that is rooted in a particular era. I mean, the thing to me about James Bond is I can accept Sean Connery as James Bond, obviously I can accept Daniel Craig as James Bond. I have a bit of trouble with Roger Moore because it was too light, he was too pretty. You know, Bond to me is an ex-serviceman, he's a real tough nut, and I get that vibe from Craig, you know, and I think
the new book's very good on picking up on that. If you haven't read it, Carte Blanche is fantastic in picking that. It's another reboot, but it draws very much on the service personnel.
Whereas I thought, say, the Roger Moore James Bond becomes like the Man from U.N.C.L.E. is something whimsical, and James Bond is not a whimsical character. He's a very hard-edged. There's an air of cruelty in the Fleming books, and I think they carried that through much more successfully with Daniel Craig. So as I say, what you've really got to do is, and what comics creators like Alan Moore and Frank Miller have done, is they've got the knack of going to the heart of the character and identifying what the USP is, or what is it that makes this special. And I think if you lose sight of that, then you're lost. I mean, I think the recent Marvel movie things, I think they've done well. They've identified Iron Man. He's the loose playboy. He's got a heart problem. He wears this suit, and it's a weapon. You know, that's great. That is what Iron Man is. Spider-Man is this confused teenager. Who's got
I was going to ask you about these films, because, of course, a lot of superheroes, who all originate in comics, or largely originate in comics, they seem to have a fairly finite cinema life, and then we're back to the beginning. Do you think there's a danger that the audience gets a bit fed up just seeing the origin story? We've got another Spider-Man Beginnings coming out. Are these franchises which would work ultimately better on a, say, on TV over a period of years, rather than three films over a decade and then retell essentially the same story at the beginning?
I mean, I've got a theory about movies like that. It's that the first one is the origin and the setup, and if you know the characters, they can be a bit tedious because you know he's going to get the spider, he's going to bite him, and there's his Aunt May, and blah, 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 blah. But then the second one, all that's in place, and then you can have the prime adventure, you know, the thing that has been identified. Then you get the third one, then you get the fourth one. So to me, the second one is always the prime one.
And can we not make the second one without the first? I mean, does each franchise really need
it's a funny thing nowadays, you see, because I think the Watchmen movie couldn't have been made, say, 10 years earlier. But by the time the Watchmen movie was made, everybody knew what Superman was like, what Spider-Man, what Iron Man was, and they kind of got the idea of a superhero. So you didn't, in a Watchmen movie, have to say, these people are superheroes and this is what they do. You see the guy in his costume, and you think, oh, he's a superhero, he's got a secret identity, blah, 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 blah. So I think, arguably nowadays, yeah, you could just do an Iron Man adventure, you know. I mean,
the Miami Vice film just picks up the story. It's another case for Crockett and Tubbs. There's no origin. It's just he's just arrived in their office in the middle of an investigation.
But then you see the clever
it wasn't maybe a brilliant film, but it strips out the need to say this had to be together.
But I think the clever thing that Star Trek movie did, the most recent Star Trek, was it actually went back before the beginning. But it was done so well. It was a great movie for the general audience, and you needn't have seen Star Trek before and you got it. But if you had seen Star Trek before, it filled in the gaps, it made perfect sense, and it was just a wonderful joy to a fan. So I do think it isn't a mistake, it's not an accident that James Bond has been going for 50 years, or that Star Trek has been going, or Superman, or whatever has been going. But the real key is, as I say, you've got to identify what it is that actually relates to people and just work the hell out of that. And I think the unsuccessful movies don't do that. They've lost their way. It's just another guy in a costume, it's just another hero. And the focus gets lost rather than the character gets any weaker.
Last question, because I can see that.
Yeah, and I want to drink. Yeah.
So, I mean, big screen adaptations of comic characters, they can be done sort of what you might call hyper real, like the more recent, the Christopher Nolan Batmans, or you can do them in the sort of faux comic palette of Dick Tracy. Which do you think is better?
I think you can go too far either way. I mean, I think you have to be in a slightly larger than life world, and even James Bond is in a slightly larger than life world, and you accept that people can get knocked through windows and fall out of buildings and not get damaged. I think in all sorts of ways that what I'd rather see is somebody's interpretation of reality, what all the great comic strips do, and the things like Spider-Man, Batman, they've never been drawn realistically, but they've been drawn in a consistent style. So I think you can set any style you like for a movie, and Watchmen's got just the feel to it that I always imagine it. It's got an operatic feel to it. It's larger than life. It's a bit down at heel. It's a bit dusty. But I think as long as your vision is consistent, that people will buy into that. But it's when you try and juxtapose reality against more than reality that the problem starts. So I think always it's the vision of the director. And obviously somebody like Christopher Nolan has got a very clear vision. Zack Snyder, very clear vision. And I think that's what you really need. You need an artist at the helm rather than a businessman.
So if Watchmen's not an option, which would be your favourite big screen adaptation of a comic book franchise?
Ooh. Well, I do like a lot of what Marvel has done. I couldn't point to anyone and say this is a great movie, but I think Marvel has got the tone of the characters right. I've just seen.
And you think having them involved as the producers, which I think is different from how it was done, say, 15 or 20 years ago, where it was a right sound instead, you think that's a big.
Almost without exception, I've liked all the Marvel movies. I saw Captain America a couple of weeks ago. Absolutely loved it because it was done right, it was spot on the character, it was enough to keep the fans happy. My litmus test in this is my wife. Who knows nothing about comics. If she likes the movie and I like it, I think it must be a good movie.
Brilliant. Yeah. Cheers, okay. You, Simon. Thanks for so much.
You're welcome.
Cheers. Bye.